Dirt and Sprague.
I really do believe they're either going to live up to the hype or they're going to have a very mediocre season.
Starting your day with a big cup of dirt.
No, I'm not a bro.
And a little splash of Sprague.
Peekaboo.
Dirt and Sprague on the Fan Sports Network.
Hey, welcome back in. Hour number three, Dirt and Sprague here, Portland Sports Leader, 105.1 FM, The Fan, 1080 AM, the Odyssey app, live on YouTube. Good morning, everybody. Happy Thursday to you. Last show of us all together for the week. Sprague's off to do the Hood to Coast tomorrow, and then we'll all be back on Monday because it'll be the return of actual, real, everybody plays football.
Well, also next week, reacted to actual football.
Does USC lose to San Jose State this weekend?
The only game I'll have, well, I mean, I won't be able to see every second of everything, but like I get to the coast around noon.
Yeah.
I'm going to definitely DVR the USC game, even though I know the final is going to be like 49-7.
Maybe more lopsided than that, yeah.
Well, let me ask you this, actually.
Fire away.
Because what I think I don't like in our industry is the people that lie about watching stuff versus just being outright honest about it.
That happens quite often.
Like if TCU beats North Carolina 27,
there's no need to watch
to
that
7
game. Or... I'm only going to be watching it because I will be at home. I'm going to wake up. I'm going to be laying on my couch, and it's just going to be. It's the only game on at the time.
Yeah,
and it's one of the few, like, you know, duck game stuff will start the next weekend. So I don't have a lot of weekends through the year where it's just like wake up, sit and watch college football. And so I will watch probably every second of that game. But if you see the score after the Hood to Coast and it's a blowout, I don't blame you at all for not watching.
Yeah, I'll probably dabble through the important stuff of things for Monday, but yeah, you're right. It's game week. We got Oregon State, Oregon games going. Washington's going to kick it off. Washington State.
Yeah.
And then you're...
They play right out of the gate. No, they play week one. Don't we get an Apple Cup in week one? Am I wrong on that?
I think you're right on that. And then a week from Wednesday next week is the Seahawks.
I know, dude. It's
and then we got an Australian game on Thursday.
We got... there's actually a bit of Seahawk news that I'll pass along here in a brief moment. The poll question is up, though, by the way. Are you upset that they took away the ticker at the bottom of the screen? By the way, Washington State do play. They play on Sunday in Seattle.
Oh, a standalone non-NFL Sunday.
It is a standalone September. So it'll be a week from Sunday they play. That's their first game. There's a Wisconsin-Notre Dame game that day, I know. I don't know if there's any other. That the Wisconsin-Notre Dame game is considered the big game, quote-unquote, if you think Wisconsin's got a pulse offensively this year.
Pretty big year for Fickell.
I would tend to think so, but they also just gave him a contract extension, so I don't really know what the hell Wisconsin's doing right now.
Well, his buyout is $22 million. I looked out coach's buyouts yesterday. He is $22 million.
I mean, you can argue of week one, the Sunday slate's got it better than the entire Saturday slate. You got the Apple Cup at 4, or it'll be 1 o'clock on NBC. I got East Coast Times here. And then it's Wisconsin-Notre Dame. You also got Louisville-Ole Miss. That's the only top 25 matchup in the entire week one calendar is on Sunday. It's Louisville versus Ole Miss. That's
Huskies
the only one we get.
Huskies are 22.5 point favorites.
Yep, 22.5 point favorites. So we'll get to more of that. It'll be fun. Everybody will be playing next week, and we'll get to talk about everybody kicking their seasons off. A couple of quick thoughts that came in on the ticker that made me chuckle. A fair point. Somebody said if it was a bygone era, then why would they get rid of it altogether instead of only during college football? Totally fair.
Yeah.
Totally fair. We know why they're doing this, though. They're doing this because they don't want you switching over to Fox and seeing a game. I just chuckle at that notion of, like...
You think that's what this is about, not switching over to Fox?
What's the other argument? Give me any other argument. I can't think of one.
To your points, right?
Like, I don't use it anymore because I just have my phone readily available to keep an eye on
scores. What do you mean you don't use it? It's just there. You just see it, and you choose to not look at it sometimes, and sometimes you get updated.
I guess my point of not using it would be I already know the scores of the game.
Yeah, see, when I'm watching, so let's say I had a quad box.
Yeah, you got four games on the same time.
Or three games, because I have YouTube TV, which is another thorn in the side of the ESPN argument. If I have YouTube TV, I can usually do a Fox game and an ESPN game.
Right. There's not many times on a Saturday where there's actually more than four games at one time that are worth watching.
Exactly.
Because it goes on all day.
If I do a quad box, though, I'm still seeing the ticker go by, and I don't need to check anything. I can just keep my eyes on the TV.
I guess that's fair. Like, I'm not saying I just ignore it or block it out. Maybe I'm just on my phone too much on college football Saturdays. Maybe I'm learning that about myself.
Like,
probably a me problem here. Yeah. Just like, I'm always just scrolling. Like, every commercial break, if I got a quad box on, I'm usually pulling up my phone to just be like, what's that? Oh, okay, they got a score there. Okay. Like, just keeping an eye on things. And so it's a constant ticker for me anyways. Another one, it upsets me. Where did this go? Damn it, I lost it. I like to watch games staggered so I can watch the full games, and the ticker always ruins the score of the next game when I go to watch it. So there's that on the recording side of things. I did love this text. Let me just.
I just love that he had that opinion. He could not explain why that was.
He's also
opinion.
Not able to defend himself right now because he's pooping.
He's
somebody
got
said
a huge, throne visit right now.
Bummer Brandon has a point this time. That one made me chuckle. You know what? This Bummer Brandon guy is kind of on something here, man. Let's get to the bit of news out of the National Football League that just came across the wire. I would imagine more music to the ears of Seahawk fans.
Let me get it right because I saw it too.
Hit me with it. Seattle just handed out contracts left and right, and they have added Leonard Williams to the portfolio. He has gotten a 3-year, $90 million contract extension with the Seattle Seahawks, and he's only 32 years old, still in the prime of his career. He was a monster addition for them and awesome last year, and now has received a 3-year, $90 million extension. I think I read if he ends up playing out all 3 years, like, you know, because guys can get hurt, he get cut, whatever, things go sideways. If he sees all 3 years, $90 million of that, I think his career earnings would be over $250 million.
Well, I have a quick question. So, one, this is smart business again, John Schneider, who I, you know, it's funny. There's a lot of bad things you could pull from our show that age poorly. You could do that to anybody, really.
Oh, for sure.
One of them was me last year going in questioning, are we going to be questioning John Schneider anytime soon? Because I brought in Sam Darnold, and there was a lot of mixed reaction to that. They win the Super Bowl. This is very good business by John Schneider. So in my face, JSN 4 years, 168.
Yep.
Made him highest paid receiver. Devon Witherspoon, they just got the 4 year, 132.
Yep, that one drug on for a while, but they got it done.
Leonard Williams, 3 years for 90. And Derek Hall, one of their best backers, 3 years, $42 million. I mean,
I think he put all $42 million into his tires.
Probably for his monster truck that's lifted. This is just really smart. Navigating by a general manager in an organization. It's also incredibly, look at who they've signed. These are draft guys or a guy that nobody wanted, which I know as a fan of a team in the division when they have to play him, Leonard Williams is an MFing problem. And I just like, how did he get through multiple teams?
Yeah, it's a really, it's a big head scratcher for sure.
How is he not still a Giant or a Jet?
Right. $56 million guaranteed in the deal. I'm with you. Just, you know, wrong place, wrong time. Not going well for the organizations. It's also a reminder, too, of like you could have the best defensive tackle on the planet that you want, but if you're incompetent as an organization, it's not going to matter. We see that with positions all over the NFL of guys who are really good at what they do, but they play for a bad organization, and all it takes is getting them out of that spot, and all of a sudden, look at that. He's a big impact player on a Super Bowl championship team. So $56 million guaranteed is, I think, a great deal for Leonard Williams. Again, if he sees the entire thing, I think his career earnings are about $250 million. He's only 32 years old.
Dude, so he's Aaron Donald light. I mean, he's not an Aaron Donald,
Aaron
but
Donald
he's the
is
next
one
level
of
down.
One, but yeah. He's that next tier of defensive linemen, and he's been awesome, man, for a long time. A huge addition for them when he came over, and now you got to reward your guys. Now, there's going to be some guys who have to go because of these contract extensions that you're talking about, and that remains the biggest question to me about Seattle this year is just what Bud Clark goes down for the season, that officially, by the way, out for the entire year. Like, what's your depth look like, right? A couple injuries happen. It's the NFL. Guys are going to get hurt. We know it will take place. They leaned on a lot of those depth pieces last year, especially later in the season, and so you're just going to have to make some sacrifices to keep everybody happy, and it's not always easy to replenish that depth in one offseason cycle with free agent signings and with draft picks, and they certainly try to do it, especially in the secondary. That's really the only question I have about Seattle. I guess the depth defensively, and what does your run game look like this year, considering you're a little banged up, your first-round pick has not been fully healthy throughout camp, although there's no alarm bells that he's not going to be ready for week one, but he's been a little dinged up. I don't believe he's played in the preseason, and so you haven't gotten any reps in a game yet. So what does the run game look like in the depth defensively? Other than that, Seattle, not a lot of question marks on that roster.
No, I asked a question earlier, and it's something we can talk about with the NFL slate. When you look at the preseason action tonight, I mean, none of these games are real of note because a lot of guys aren't playing. Steelers, Bills, Pats, Browns, Niners, Raiders, Rams, Chargers. So seemingly there is a team that you would put in the contention category.
Rams are the favorite in the NFC, and the Bills are one of the favorites in the AFC.
The Steelers won the division last year. The Niners were better than expected. They're old, but they're still the Niners. And the Rams, Chargers speaks for itself with Herbert and what the Rams be. Like, would you bet that group to win the Super Bowl or take the field? Because in that group, you are omitting a team like the defending champion Seattle Seahawks.
Yeah, you don't get Seattle in there. You don't get Denver in there.
Nope. No Kansas City.
No Chicago.
No Green Bay.
Philly, if you still have a chance there. Green Bay, for sure.
No Houston.
I think because of the having Buffalo and L.A. playing tonight, the Rams, that
all
is, not
LA.
Yeah, both LAs.
Yeah.
I'm high on the Chargers, but I also acknowledge I'm high on my own supply there.
Tough road game for the Rams.
Got to go across town, man. Oh, wait, no, it's the same stadium. I think I would take tonight's teams. I think I would.
You would bet a ticket on one of the teams in tonight's game.
If you gave me the bulk of the teams tonight.
The field?
Like, I wouldn't, I'm not going to pick Pittsburgh to win the Super Bowl. I don't see Aaron Rodgers doing it at this point of his career. The Cleveland Browns are out the window. The Raiders are out the window. The Pats, I'm not high on, but I also acknowledge, like, they got A.J. Brown. Like, there's
Drake May.
Drake May. Like, I get it. Yeah. I just think there's going to be a little regression this year, but it's an opinion, right? I don't know if it's going to end up being true.
Yeah.
The Niners, if they stay healthy, will be in the mix. They weren't healthy last year. They're the third best team in the NFC. And I do think the combination of McDaniel and Herbert is something that's very intriguing to me for the Chargers. Plus, I get the Bills and the Rams on top of it. I think I would take tonight's teams. There's only a couple that I'm like, damn, Seattle being one. I do think Green Bay is going to be better than people are giving them credit for this year.
Well, your Vikings are not in this,
right?
Mix.
And then there's the other teams of
Detroit.
Like who could get hot, who could be this year's Seattle, if you will, because nobody saw Seattle and New England coming last year.
You know who else
year.
Is not in this? You have an actual ticket on it.
My Cowboys.
No Cowboys.
My Cowboys.
I think in these instances, I like to throw stuff out like that out because I start thinking about it. That's so many good teams. But in any of these instances, I probably am almost always going to take the field.
Yeah.
In the NFL and college football largely, in these scenarios, like, would you take these eight teams or the rest of the team? I would almost always lean rest of the teams. Give me the field almost all day. It's like when we used to ask that dumb question, Chiefs or the field? It's like, always play the field.
I get 31 other NFL teams.
Yeah.
What Chiefs are the chances they win it every year?
Exactly.
Not very high. We have not spoken yet on the show today other than in sports updates. Does anybody want to eulogize? Anybody want to deliver the eulogy?
The voice of Transformer?
No.
Oh.
The Pro Bowl.
Thank goodness.
I will remember
you. Were you wondering if that's what I was outraged about? Like as a joke.
No, I think I kind of knew where you were going with that because I saw the ticker thing yesterday. I'm like, ooh, that's content
I didn't know what
gold.
It was,
we're going to talk about that.
I knew it wasn't that.
The Pro Bowl's not going to get played anymore.
That's fine.
Was it being played?
I mean, technically, yes. No, flag but football? Technically, yes.
But they're not even going to do dodgeball or anything like that. I think they're just going to have like an awards banquet.
Would that have been the 2026 Pro Bowl, right? Because it happens in February?
It decreased. I think they had
it goes down.
2 million or something.
Let's see.
It's flag football.
I mean, you're wrong. You're right. 2026 Pro Bowl games drew an all-time low of approximately 2 million viewers on ESPN and Disney platforms.
Crazy, because that's like something.
57-60% drop from the year before.
The NBA brags about a regular season game that gets 2 million.
Dude, every other sport other than college football maybe getting 2 million viewers for a regular season game.
That's a good number.
That is, yeah. I mean, for a run-of-the-mill game on a Saturday, like not for a big-time game. If an NBA game got 2 million viewers in the regular season, it would blow people's minds.
Well, it's also, I think it's, I've always commended in the midst of all of their controversies through the past, right? The CTE lawsuits, the Colin Kaepernick stuff. It's certainly been a little rocky at times for them as a league. But people always come back and people always watch. I've always commended Roger Goodell and the NFL for being willing to adapt. And it was like, hey, Sean Taylor has just single-handedly ruined the Pro Bowl because he's too good and he's taking it too seriously and he's injuring people.
Right.
And so it's morphed more and more and more since that point into flag. And it's like the people are telling you, we literally don't care the way we cared about it. And the NFL's like, okay, we're done.
If you're not going to watch, we're not going to do it. What's the point?
Still do the NFL Honors Weekend. Still give the awards out. You know what would be a really cool thing? If you're still going to do all the awards, make it like I missed Comic-Con in San Diego by a week. They should do that. Like, have a big
fan
NFL
expo
convention.
Thing, yeah.
Ex-players are there, and they're doing photos and signature. Like, dude, put coaches out. Coaches are superstars to people now.
Yeah.
John Schneider was signing autographs on Hard Knocks. Like, we know who these people are now. It's not, it's the general manager, and you just move on. It's like, dude, that guy's a rock star. He made my team a Super Bowl champion. They should be, just make the whole weekend that. You're getting rid of the game.
It's a great idea.
Good move.
But that could be. They could do that to kick off
Super Bowl week.
Super Bowl week, wherever they're going.
They kind of do with Media Day. I'm saying if you're still going to do the NFL honors, great. But if you're not doing a game, like lean into it a little harder than for a fan experience.
Well, it'll actually be more significant. So they're still going to vote for the Pro Bowl, but it'll just be all of the initial. So if you're a Pro Bowler, that's it. There's no you're going to stop with Russell Wilson.
Shedeur Sanders was a Pro Bowler last
year.
Jones
is a Pro Bowler.
That's like, not going to happen anymore.
Because guys won't be opting out of the game.
They will just have, here are the Pro Bowl selections.
But I look at all pro more than I look at Pro Bowl.
Yeah.
I do too. That's
so what's the point of it? If you're not playing the game, what's the point?
I tend to agree with you.
The NBA ruined, or if the NBA got rid of the All-Star game, they wouldn't announce All-Stars.
There's a peer voting process to it. The All-Pro is riders or something like that.
Which is fine.
So
the numbers of the last 5 years. So 2022 was the last traditional game that they played. You know, traditional is not a full football game, but you get the point. 6.7 million viewers. 2023, they switched over to flag football. It went down to 6.3, so you lost a little bit, but not a ton. 2024, flag football again, 5.8 million. 2025, 4.7 million, and then it just cratered last year down to about 2 million viewers. And so to your point, I respect the hell out of the NFL for stuff like that, of like, this isn't working. That's all right. We make enough money elsewhere. We're going to be okay. We don't need the revenue from the Pro Bowl. We'll be fine. And I'm sure they find another way to spin it, to Swag's point, and do something that week. And
well, and the players keep telling them, we don't want to put our bodies in risk for a game that does not matter in any way, shape, or form.
Well, they're also getting ahead of the obvious. They're going to have a labor fight about that extra game.
Right.
That's a fairly obvious
thing.
So take
one more thing off the table that the players are going to do.
Preseason game. Now you don't have to do any Pro Bowl-type football activity. What's the next league that should eliminate theirs?
The NBA. It's such a tired debate every year.
I
can't stand it. I hate that stretch of radio where we have to pretend to care about what the format of the All-Star
game. What you can do, like, if you like the three-point contest and you like the dunk contest, you can wrap that now into the NBA Cup, because they shut everything down for like the semifinals and the finals where they go to Vegas or whatever.
Yeah.
So you can go put your three-point contest or whatever you want to do and keep those, make it part, have it on the off day in between the semifinals and the final. And then you can go ahead and keep playing all the way through, not take a week and a half break in February.
Yeah, I don't really think there's a need to get rid of the baseball one, although it's not everybody's cup of tea, but it kind of fills a hole in the middle of the summer. It's mainly a calendar
what
argument.
What about hockey?
Hockey got rid of their All-Star game.
Oh, no.
Right. Don't they just do a skills thing now, or do they actually still play a game?
No, it's 3-on-3.
Oh, okay.
And it's actually kind of fun and entertaining for people that like hockey. If you don't like hockey, then
it's just, for me, the hockey and the basketball thing is the time of the year. Now, basketball is a little bit different because it comes after kind of on the heels of football season, but there's just, there's so much going on the sports calendar that time of year that I'm not jonesing for more and a desirable.
But hockey may be going to,
they want to do the Four Nations.
They want to do the Four Nations Cup. So I think if they do that, they'll get rid of the All-Star.
Because the year they did the Four Nations, they did not have an All-Star.
No, they did not.
They got rid of it and they had the Four Nations and
it was massive.
Boom for hockey, right?
Yeah.
And so I'm not somebody who seeks out All-Star games anymore. It's big for kids, I guess. It's cool for the communities that get it, if you get it. But
I think in baseball, I think, one, for guys that aren't in it, it's a nice break in the middle of the season because you play every damn day.
But is it real? I mean, it's really not that long of a break.
No, it's barely a week.
They'll play the night before everything starts, so then they're flying to the cities or they're flying to
Cancun. Well, for the guys in it, no, they don't get a break at all.
But even the guys off, it's not a full week.
You play
week.
On Sunday, and then it starts
game,
on Monday, and then you play
one game
on Thursday,
and everybody else starts the following Friday.
You got 4 days off.
It's not, because it's not that awesome.
You fly home, see your family, or if you don't have...
You went on vacation without your family. You must be a real family man.
4 days, I'm out of here,
man. Who are you hanging out with in Cancun? You know what I mean?
There's some NFL tidbits for you. Leonard Williams, big contract extension, $56 million guaranteed from Seattle. In the Pro Bowl, we will remember you. What's your favorite all-time Pro Bowl memory? Is it Sean Taylor decapitating a punter?
It's probably Sean Taylor just
has to be the all-time,
obliterating
right?
a punter.
Yeah.
R.I.P.
Getting it out of Hawaii, too, was like, that was the start of the downfall.
That was a real destination
every
situation.
Year.
That was the only incentive to get the players to do it, because they could take their whole families and
all
that stuff.
Most states are freezing and miserable in February.
And then when they stopped doing that, they're like, man.
Where did they put it? Orlando?
Orlando. Ugh. I think it was in Vegas 1 year.
Hawaii or Vegas, give me a break.
Although my brother-in-law went to one of the years when it was in Orlando because he was doing some work stuff.
Uh-huh.
So he got to like be around the players for his job. And, you know, it's Orlando, but he was like, dude, it was pretty cool, though. It's really chill. It was really laxed. And I think part of that is they didn't really care about the game.
Yeah, I just can't wait.
Not that they ever really did, but,
right.
You know.
Little lax out there.
Hey, mate, do me a favor. Tighten up.
Come on, guys. Here we go. How about this? Let's stick in the NFL. If you were going to rank teams in this category, who would your top five be? And do we agree with this person rankings? I'll explain what it is. We'll get to that a little more NFL next on The Fan. All righty. Welcome back in, everybody. Hope your days are off to a good start. We got the Magic Hat coming up, top of the hour. I got some college football nuggies and some audio for you here in about 15 minutes from now. So a lot still to get to in our Thursday show. We got some preseason games tonight. We can dive in a little bit here in the final hour of the show. I saw this earlier, and I thought it was an interesting way to rank teams, and I'm wondering if we agree. So we all know when you turn on Red Zone on Sunday to watch NFL football, there are a number of teams that will pop up on your TV that you go, do I need to see that?
Sometimes, and I've noted this, it feels weirdly like they're choosing to go to the bad game the most as like a way to get you to either go to the network or buy the Sunday ticket.
Like
it's a theory I've come up with.
You think there's a conspiracy theory here of like, let's show a lot of Cardinal plays on, dude, on the Red Zone.
I don't think I'm wrong on this. I can't give you an exact breakdown of it, but I had a lot of Red Zone moments last year where there would be, fill in the blank, X amount of games in the 10 a.m. window that you'd be like, dude, that's a pretty good game. And I would have the Red Zone on, and it'd be like,
Raiders, Titans shoved down your
throat. Let's go back to Tennessee, where the Titans are approaching the Red Zone
against
the Raiders.
It's still 0-0.
And I'm like,
I don't need
Scott, you don't need to do this.
Come on, Scott!
And I have a theory that it was actually, it's to drive you to the network standalone game in your region, or to get you to purchase Sunday tickets so you don't have to see it anymore.
I think I'm buying your conspiracy theory. So we all have those on Sundays, right? You're like, God, I don't want to get this Panthers game off my TV.
Don't we have the college Red Zone starting this year?
I think so. I think they're doing something like that, but you can't put them all under one umbrella, so that's kind of weird because it's like just ESPN games and all that. But this is a ranking on the other side of the teams that you most get most excited to watch. So an NFL season ranking of Red Zone exciting teams. They pop up and you pop up. Catch my drift? Now, this is a ranking from Benjamin Solak of ESPN, and he used the following criteria to rank the most exciting teams. Big playability, competitive games, star players involved.
So we're ranking this off of last year?
Yes.
Okay, that's always good.
And nothing offensive, meaning the offense will be exciting and competitive.
He's projecting into this year.
Yeah, he is, and I'll get to the rankings.
Your projections only happen off what you just did.
Or what you did in the offseason.
What you did in the offseason, what your roster looks like.
You can't project out if you haven't had play together.
Hey, I'm just giving you the list. Giving you the list.
That's fine. I'm in on the list. I also find it, interesting that we're projecting out now. We know who these teams will be.
Here are his top five most exciting teams in the NFL. They show up on your screen on Red Zone and you go, yeah, all right, this will be fun.
Okay.
Number one on his list is the Chicago Bears. Numero uno, Caleb Williams.
Were we doing this 2 years ago when they were unwatchable?
They were not very good 2 years ago. Last year, very watchable.
Well,
what version of the Bears do we get?
The beginning of that year.
Not at the start of the year,
but great.
Towards the back end of the year.
Okay.
Number two on the list, to nobody's surprise, the Los Angeles Rams. Get it? Number three on the list, the Detroit Lions. Explosive play, star players, no names.
Totally get it.
Going to score a lot of high-scoring games. Their defense seems like it's been really bad now for 2 years. Injury is a big part of that.
So far, I would have made the exact same list.
Number four.
Seattle Seahawks.
The Los Angeles Chargers. Quote, if you aren't chomping at the bit to see Justin Herbert in the Mike McDaniel offense, then you and I don't like the same football. Few quarterbacks produce more spectacular throws than Herbert. Throughout his career, he's been plagued by poor offensive design, shaky O-line, ill-timed drops. Few offensive designers have elevated quarterback play more than McDaniel. Now with a golden arm shot maker under center.
He certainly is making us reconsider how we view him with Tua, that's for sure.
He isn't even trying to hide his excitement. So the Chargers came in at number four. Number five on this list, your top five, the New England Patriots. Adding A.J. Brown.
Yes.
Best record in the AFC last year. Rounding out the rest of the top 10, Dallas at 6, Cincinnati at 7, Seattle at 8, Minnesota at 9.
How is Seattle all the way at 8?
Denver at 10.
They had the best receiver in football last year.
That they did, Bob. That they did.
They added they replaced a running back with a rookie.
Yes. Who has been getting good reviews in camp and not played in a game yet.
Darnold threw for 4,500 yards, like, What am I missing?
I don't know what you're missing.
Stars on the defensive side.
They got a lot of stars out there. A lot of known players.
Eighth.
So red
zone. They have
some
of the best return game in special teams in all of football.
They absolutely do it. I mean, it was huge for them in the postseason and in winning the NFC, the number one seed, and coming back against the Rams, right? Without a punt return in that game, you probably don't win it. So if I were to give you the red zone, who are your top five watchable teams in the NFL, do you put the Seahawks in your top five? Because I think there's a difference between being a good team and a excited, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Well, when you watched them, were you bored?
At times, yeah. When Darnold threw four picks against the Rams.
I mean, that's an outlier. The Rams were also boring in that game, too.
They want to run the football as much as any team.
They do.
So as far as spreading it out and letting it go like Cincinnati with Burrow and, right. and
Do you also look at the idea that a team could have like a really bad performance, but it's entertaining? Like, I'll give you an example here.
It has to be bad defensively.
This team can be like explosive and fun, but also have an ability where their quarterback will throw three picks and you'll just feel like, oh, God.
What's happening?
The Jags.
Yeah, Jags have that vibe
the
for
Cowboys
sure.
The Cowboys are a good one, too. When they just randomly have Dak throw two pick sixes at home.
Right, and then they could somehow score 40 unanswered, but then their defense gives up 30 unanswered, yeah. and they lose the game 45-42.
They blind That's their own players
That's kind of where the Bengals are.
The Bengals are for sure in that category for me, because you just never know what you're going to get.
The Ravens are just as
Herbert
capable of being the
most
explosive.
Herbert can do that. We've seen that. Right. All of a sudden, Herbert has a game where he is colorblind and doesn't know which guys are the defensive.
To your point on Jacksonville, Solak ranked them 17th in the NFL. They are behind the Bills at 16. Bills are all the way down at 16. Phillies.
Watching
Phillies,
Josh Allen is 16.
Right. I strongly disagree with that one.
Yeah.
Strong disagree.
A huge disagreement. I see what he's saying about like the Chargers, right? I don't know if Daniel will or will not. But, yeah, I understand the excitement for it. But the Bills are 17th? What did you say, 16th?
16th. Behind Philly, and that's where you're going to get pushback from me because I think there's an argument to be made.
You want to talk about a team I don't want to watch? It's Philly.
We know they're good.
Watch them.
I mean, I didn't really want to watch them when they were going to outside of Saquon Barkley and some guy like a
They at least won the Super Bowl that year.
They were very good.
They were a rough watch.
I think there's a comparison between Seattle and Philly. Now I'm much higher on Darnold than I am on Jalen Hurts. That's not the comp I'm trying to make. Of like they're good defensively. They kind of grind you down. That's the way that they win games. And they're the best team at the end of the year. And there's no debate about it. That doesn't mean that's the most exciting brand of football to watch.
I mean,
if that makes sense.
The easiest way to win to play this game. Is to just play the reverse of every division. Who's the worst in the AFC East?
It's going to be the Dolphins this year.
Are you sure about that?
I disagree with you. I think it's going to be New York.
I think they're going to be worse than the Jets.
I think Malik Willis is going to surprise you. And Achane is
Are
fast.
We buying Malik Willis stock?
No, I think we're talking about watchability.
Yes.
I think the Jets are the worst. Swag thinks it's Miami.
If the Dolphins were playing a game and the Jets were playing a game, who would I rather watch?
Who do you think would be more exciting to watch? Just
Dolphins.
It doesn't matter.
Okay. Dolphins.
Dolphins would be?
Yeah.
So you and I think it's the Jets. Okay? You go to the you just play this game with every division. Yeah. Who is the lead? Cleveland in the North.
Has to be
Cleveland. Even with old-ass Rodgers.
Tennessee in the South, easily.
No, you're watching to see the crowd reaction at home. Or will they boo Deshaun? That's what you're watching for.
Houston could very well be in the conversation of the South, by the way. They have, offensively, they have real struggle-less moments.
But they're dominant defensively, and they win games 16-14.
The West, I think it's the Raiders, but...
Right. Should be on paper.
The East... Probably the Eagles?
Over
the Giants?
Ooh. Can I throw the Commies in there for right now?
Sure.
I think I'm going to throw the Commies in there for
the
right
Giants
now.
The Giants have a curiosity factor this year.
They do for me as well.
Right.
And I'm just kind of out on the Commies. I'm out on Jaden Daniels. I think that whole thing's going to blow up.
Who's the least exciting team to watch in the North?
The NFC North?
Yeah. That might be the most fun division.
Because of their lack of...
There's not a bad watch.
Because of their lack of explosive players, I might give you, or like not a star on the outside, I might give you the Packers.
because they don't have that receiver.
I have Jefferson in Minnesota. Mm-hmm. The intrigue of Kyler Murray coming over. How does it work?
The Bears stuff is tight end and young receiver based. Right. Who haven't quite proven it.
Caleb Williams, he's painting his nails and all that nonsense. You get the Lions, who are going to score 50 points but give up 52. Like, I might go Packers there. They might be the best team in the division, ironically.
In the South, it's probably going to be the Falcons, but they at least have Bijan, so I'm going to vote Panthers.
You can pick any. Anybody in the NFC
I know they have
South.
T-Mac, but I'm just like, I'm not excited about watching
the Tyler Shuck thing. I'm just not quite fully on board with
how
yet.
Are you not jumping on board with me on this?
It's a Texas Tech legend. I'm not quite there yet. Yeah.
I mean, look, I just
and in the West, we all know it's the Cardinals.
I like Ben Solak. This is a fun exercise of like who I get excited for when they're on my television.
Ooh, they pop up on your TV. Ooh.
Having Josh Allen at 16 is egregious.
It's absolutely what are egregious. We doing? Come on, man. Get out of here. Let's get to some college football. The playoff committee contemplating doing something that takes it another step further. I'll explain that. We got a little bit of audio for you, and we'll dive into college football. We got the Magic Hat coming up top of the hour. Back after this, 105.1 FM The Fan. We have a poll question up today at Dirt and Sprague on Twitter. Are you upset that ESPN is getting rid of their score bug for college football games, yes or no? At Dirt and Sprague on Twitter.
I love everybody like, no, don't care. I'm like, yeah, that's fine.
Is this a really dumb reason to bet something last known on the NFL?
Mm-hmm.
Let me confirm that my years are right here real quick as I look up some stat lines. I don't know why. This kind of stuff ropes me in from time to time, and I feel like I'm getting bamboozled. So please tell me if this is dumb. Yeah, this will be Jordan Love's fourth year as a starter in Green Bay. It's his sixth or seventh year in the NFL, but remember, he sat for 2 years behind Rodgers. Fourth year as a starter. Do you know what Aaron Rodgers did his fourth year as a starter?
Won the whole enchilada.
He did not. He won the MVP. Individually, he won the whole enchilada. Do you know what Brett Favre did in his fourth year as a starter?
He won the MVP.
Yes, he did.
I was going to say enchilada.
Enchilada.
But we're not eating enchiladas right
now. I love enchiladas,
dude. When did Rodgers win the enchilada? 6 years?
That's a great question.
Couldn't have been long after that.
What year did they win the Super Bowl? 2010, wasn't it?
2010 season, 2011?
That sounds right. Let me pull up the old stat log here. What year would that have been for him? I thought he was the 06. He was the 05 draft. Yeah. So it would have been
his... Took him about 4 years to become starter.
Third year as a starter.
Oh, so he had already gotten enchilada, and
he
then he
won the Super Bowl, and then the next year he won the MVP. He went the year they won the Super Bowl, he had 28 touchdowns, 11 picks. The next year he had 45 touchdowns, 6 picks.
Okay.
I mean, it's a really dumb reason to bet somebody to win an MVP, because something that happened in 2011, and then what would it have been for Favre, like 1995 or whatever year it was?
I think it was
96. The year they won the Super Bowl. Yeah, and he won his first MVP.
Well, but also, like, no other franchise.
Isn't that funny? Synergy.
NFL history has had three consecutive franchise quarterbacks
back to back to back.
Two at most, and then you're like, oh, now we're in the pivot find a guy phase.
Then you're the Colts.
Yeah,
Phillip Rivers is coming out of retirement.
That's really normal. Yeah. Like, that's the normality of the NFL, and they have somehow they have found themselves into three straight true franchise guys. I went and looked up his playoff numbers.
Who is this, Love?
Love, because they blew that game to the Bears. Remember the ending to it?
Yeah.
323 yards.
Okay.
Pretty good.
That was a wild card game, right? Correct?
Wild card.
Okay.
Four touchdowns, no picks.
Damn. Special teams was their issue, was not
52% completion percentage.
That's not ideal.
46 passes.
I remember it being, wasn't it cold, snowy? Wasn't that a bad weather game? I know the Rams game was the next week, but it was at Soldier Field.
The Ram game was worse because it was like freezing and icy.
Didn't they do that to Chicago twice in like 3 weeks? Because wasn't there one at the end of the year?
Chicago did that to them.
Or I guess either way. Yeah, they blew the lead against the Bears twice in the last month.
I think one of them was Sunday Night Football and the other one was that wild card game.
I feel like an idiot because it has nothing. It's like saying this, you know, this team hasn't won a playoffs. Well, what does the playoffs in 1992 have to do with modern time? Literally nothing, but also sometimes the universe aligns. So I will be betting Jordan Love to win MVP this year.
Well, I mean, you know, he had, I'm trying to see.
His numbers weren't terrible last year.
No, he's one of a handful
and six
of quarterbacks, though, that like, can you truly define how you feel about him?
I think he's good.
The Packers keep all of his main targets healthy all season?
That are his main targets.
Well, exactly. Christian Watson, he's back and healthy.
Kraft, the tight end.
Who's the cat, Golden
I'd
from
argue
Texas?
That's their best. Well, right now, Matthew Golden might emerge, but Kraft, I would say, is his best target. I know Watson's good, but can you count on Christian Watson to play 14 games?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Can you count on any of them to be out there?
But I don't
there?
Know if Christian Watson's a game breaker for me.
Like, even if he stays healthy, is
but
he?
Also, yeah. if the other guys are out there every week and Watson's getting either one-on-one coverage from the second or third quarter, he's a lot more effective than when he's the best guy out there.
I thought Romeo Doubs was an underrated loss for them. I think he is a good second, third option for a team.
Agree.
So he had 4,100 yards, 32 touchdowns, and 11 picks in 23. His first
year
full
as a
year
starter.
Starting. And it was like, here we go. And then he got put on all these lists. And I think it was, Mike Tice's kid, Nate Tice.
Oh, okay.
He had him top three in a podcast. And I was like, whoa, dude, top three.
We're already doing it.
That next year, after all the hype, 3,300 yards, 15 games played, 25 touchdowns, the same amount of picks. So he had seven less touchdowns for the same amount of turnovers.
Yep, he got banged up early in
and
the year.
800 yards less, and he only missed two games.
Yep.
And then last year, exact same, played 15 games, less passing yards than the year before that, less touchdowns, and he did cut down on the interception. So he's just like, he's a really tough quarterback to truly identify of, I know Darnold won, so we should probably leave the room of who can win the Super Bowl pretty wide open.
Mm-hmm.
But can he lift and carry a team is the next conversation.
It's a funny thing because I'm with you. And it's also, I think it epitomizes the modern quarterback debate. Like where there's three or four guys, depending on how big your list is, that stand atop the quarterback hierarchy in the league. And then I think a huge chunk of guys for me are just then jumbled together in the middle of that group.
What's their circumstance, right?
Right? And who's healthy? Who's available?
Is Parsons on defense?
Right? Who's a better quarterback, Jordan Love or Sam Darnold? One just won a Super Bowl.
I think most would take Jordan Love, but I think you have an argument to be made about Sam Darnold.
I'm not going to disagree either way. That to me epitomizes the debate, right? Who's better, Dak Prescott or Jordan Love?
I think people would actually take Dak.
Probably. He's got a longer track record.
Dak is not being debated with Carson Wentz anymore. We're like, hey, Dak is good.
Yeah.
But Dak can be really good and your team still not make the playoffs.
Yes. I just saw that. It was one of those like, will he follow the Packer quarterback legacy and win his MVP in his fourth year? And I'm the idiot that's going to gamble on that.
So I don't think I would bet him. I don't know if his...
I don't trust his weapons at all to win an MVP.
Yeah,
it's the same reason of the Herbert stuff and the MVP conversation of like, Ladd McConkey's your one. You think you're going to win an MVP? If you do, more power to you. If you find your way through that, I just don't know if you have enough firepower on the outside. But a big year for them nonetheless.
Rank the quarterbacks in their division, by the way.
In the NFC North?
I'm assuming you have Kyler last until we see him be awesome.
Kyler has to be last.
So sort out those other three.
Dude, that is tough.
Because I don't know if anybody's coming in with more pressure than the Chicago Bears.
I mean, I know the numbers you just listed, but I think there's a strong argument to be made for being consistently good, maybe not elite, but like there has not been the numbers maybe have dipped here or there. Mm-hmm. There hasn't been a cratering of Jordan Love. There's not a question of like, would you pay him? There hasn't been a CJ Stroud type unraveling where it's like, oh my God, you threw 17 picks in a playoff game and lost us the game. Albeit they haven't had the same amount of success that they had as year one. I think honestly, if I'm franchise drafting these guys, I would take him one. I would take Caleb too, just because I want to see it one more year from Caleb.
Over Caleb.
And then Jared Goff 3, Kyler Murray 4, I think would be my NFC.
I'll put a poll question on just the three of the – well, not that Kyler won't have a good year, but
dude,
like –
put four of them in there and then just say, who's the best quarterback in the NFC North?
Okay.
Of those four starters.
All right.
That's an interesting one. The College Football Playoff Committee, by the way, I tease that, so there's no need to talk about it in too much detail, but they are contemplating, the playoff committee is, they're getting together to discuss the idea of banning teams from postseason play who use a player from an NFL roster on their team. What's LSU going to do?
Not play them?
You can't, right?
No,
if they come out with that ruling, you have to.
I heard Evan Stewart yesterday.
Yeah, he was asked about
on the
this.
Duck Insider show, and he's like, I think I take Lanning's position of like, you're done. You know what I mean? Like, this comeback thing is weird. And I certainly agree with it. I also find myself weirdly like, why did nobody help Daquan Wright here of like, no, don't do this. It's going to get rescinded. And now what do you do? He's just going to be a no man's land for a practice squad spot?
Because the NFL has said once guys go back the other way, there's no coming back until next year.
He probably was going to make the Cleveland roster, according to some of the reports. And it's like he chose, he's like, I kind of want to go. And they're like,
Lane Kiffin
good.
Called him and offered him a bag, which is probably more than the minimum scale rookie contract in the NFL. And he said, I'll go take that money, and did not listen to good advice.
Certainly, some of this is on him. I'm just like, do you not also look at it and go, why were people not being adults in this situation and stopping this?
So what happens when Lane Kiffin's your head coach, man. Doesn't happen often. That is the latest out of college football. We got some more audio. We'll see if we get to it later on the show. We already did the dirty poll. If you missed that, that was in hour number one. Let's get to the magic hat to kick off the final hour. We'll do it next. 105.1 FM The Fam.